Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and what a blessing it is, again, just being in church and being able to minister to through the congregational singing as well as the special music, and then the studying and the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. What a blessing it is to be in church. John chapter 21, John chapter 21. We've been studying on Wednesday nights the life of the Apostle Peter, the life of the Apostle Peter. And this will take us on into the book of Acts during the apostolic age, with Peter having a huge impact and a huge responsibility as he is being prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ for the ministry that God has called him to. And as God calls us into our life's ministry, he will also prepare us for that as well. And so we've been studying on Peter's discipleship. He's being discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that there's other apostles and how that Jesus would be working in their lives, but this is a study of the life of the Apostle Peter. And so what we're looking at is how it affects Peter and how Peter sees things and learning from Peter's example and what God has recorded about how that Peter responded to different things and how God had discipled the Apostle Peter. So that's what we're focused on as we study this Wednesday night series on the life of the Apostle Peter. Well, as you know, as Jesus is discipling Peter, Jesus goes to the cross. Peter, right before then, had denied him three times. After Jesus resurrects, Peter finds out some exciting news which would impact his life, and that is that Jesus is alive and that he is still one of his disciples. And this part of discipling him, he would be discipled by the resurrected Jesus before he would ascend into heaven. And so in between the second and the third meeting with the resurrected Savior, okay, he had met twice with them, and both those times they were supposed to be at a certain place, and then he would come and meet with them at that place. Well, before the third place, we understand that Peter had been waiting some possible 2 to 3 weeks for Jesus to meet with them. I think that their cupboards got bare. They somewhat was running out of food. And before they would run completely out of food, Peter says, "I go a-fishing." And I believe, as we study, that Peter's intent was to use some of his past experiences, his abilities to catch fish, and be able to provide for the rest of the disciples before Jesus would return to meet with them. And so many of them decided they would go fishing with him. They fished all night long, did not catch anything as per God's design. Jesus goes to them. As he goes to them, he instructs them on what to do in order to catch fish. And they put the nets out once again, and they just caught a draught of fish, and they know that this is Jesus. Peter grabs his fishing jacket, jumps in the water, and goes to Jesus. When he gets there, we find that Jesus has a meal prepared for them. And as Jesus has a meal prepared for them, he tells Peter to help them bring all the fish to shore, to bring them in. And they brought the fish to shore. Then they dine. They came and dine with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that leads us up to where we're at tonight, okay? And so as they understood that Jesus would be able to provide for them, didn't use those fish that they caught. He had already prepared fish and bread and prepared a meal for them after their long night of fishing. And he asked them to come and dine with him. And oh, how we need to come and dine with Jesus all the time. Amen. And we studied that last week. So now that's where we're at. So go ahead and stand with me. We'll be reading tonight John chapter 21, verse 15 through 19. Jesus addresses Peter's love and service. Two things that all of us need to address from time to time. I guess things that we need to look inside of us and see if we still have that same love for God that we've always had in our lives. If we still have that same motive for service as what we started out. So we find here tonight Jesus addresses Peter's love and service to him. So John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he, Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight, and it is a blessing to be in church. And Lord, it's a blessing to know that we have your eternal word before us. And as we've read this passage of scripture and studying the life of the Apostle Peter, I know that you have a message for us tonight. And so I pray that you'd help each one, whether those that are here in this auditorium or those that are here through the live stream, God, wherever they might be, I pray that you'd help us to keep our hearts and minds focused on what you have for us through the preaching of thy word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Verse 15 through 17, Jesus questions Peter's love for God. Now, think about that. Jesus questioned Peter's love for God. Jesus is God. This is the resurrected Jesus. And as God, there's nothing that God does not know. He was not asking Peter for his sake, so that God would know whether or not Peter loved him. Jesus was asking Peter for Peter's sake, so that Peter would know that he loved him. No matter how we try to convince anyone of our love for them, especially God, it starts with you knowing that. You might portray something and you're trying to convince somebody of something, but you know within your heart what is really going on. And boy, that is so true when it comes to God. God is not mocked. He is not deceived. He is very much aware of everything. Sometimes Satan blinds us to our own personal love for God. Satan blinds us for our own personal reason for service. Satan will, if he can, get us thinking things that we shouldn't be thinking toward a relationship with God and our service toward him. So it was for Peter to know. Because of this, Peter was made to answer three times. The same number of times that Peter denied Jesus. Peter, did you love Christ when you denied him the first time? Well, then, did you love Christ when you denied him the second time? And if that's not enough, Peter, did you love Jesus when you denied him a third time? No doubt Peter would have been mindful of this. This was going through his mind about what he had done after saying, I'll die for you. I'll not deny thee. And within that 24 hours, that very same night, he denies him three times, and he was even warned by Jesus that he would deny him three times. And yet, how can you love Jesus if you'll deny him before others? And after you've denied him, do you feel like that you love him? Peter's being discipled for a very important mission that God has called him to in the apostolic age. After Christ would arise and sit at the right hand of God, it would be up to the apostles that had been trained by Jesus Christ to do the work that he had called them to do, to make sure that the New Testament church continued to go forward. And they would turn the world upside down, not only just the apostles, but by the apostles' lead, the believers would turn the world upside down. Now, as we study this, and some want to focus on the definition of love, and I believe there was something. If you go back and you'll study the Greek, you'll see that Jesus' definition of love, when he asks Peter that in verse 15, they look at this and they would tell you that that would actually mean the agape love, which would have been a sold-out, committed, sacrificial love. And Jesus is asking Peter, are you sold out? Are you committed? Are you willing to sacrifice? Do you love me? And then we look at Peter's response, and Peter's response when he says, thou knowest I love thee, is more of a lesser degree phileo type of love, which is a fuzzy feeling, if you will. And some want to focus on that. I believe that has something to help us with in understanding why we have this event and why that this is recorded in Peter's discipleship. But the reason for this event in Peter's preparation for service is what we're looking at tonight. That's what I want to go over this and be able to help you with this, because the reason for this event in Peter's preparation for service are things that all of us can learn, because it's God's plan in preparing all of us for service. And can I tell you, even though God had a plan for Peter during the apostolic age, God has a plan for every believer in this 21st century church age, which could be the last. And we see more of that even today. So the focus of our love is important. What did Jesus mean when he says, lovest thou me, verse 15, more than these? Is he looking around to the other apostles who he led astray, possibly, or led, who followed him to go fishing? Not really led astray. I don't think it was a sin. He was never reprimanded for that. He was never rebuked for that. He never repented of that. But he did lead the other disciples to follow him. I don't believe that that's what he's talking about. If you go back in chapter 21 and look at verse 10 and 11, the focus of our love. Because after Jesus reveals himself to Peter, they catch all the fish. Peter goes to Jesus, and Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Even though he was not using those fish to feed them, he had already prepared the fish for them to eat dinner. But he wanted the fish there. That's important. He wanted the fish there. for Peter to look to. And Simon Peter went up, and verse 11, and Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. I want you to see this. So Peter goes to Jesus, leaving the fish. When he gets to Jesus, he sees that Jesus has already prepared a meal for them, but Jesus tells him, go help them bring all the fish in. And so Peter goes, and they're trying to bring this load of fish in, possibly the greatest catch of fish ever, where the net should have busted because they were so filled the nets, the nets should have break, but the nets did not break because Jesus did not want the nets to break. He wanted there to be the greatest catch of fish that he ever had in those nets. And he wants them to be brought to where they're at. So there's these huge catch of fish, 153, I believe. 150, I mean, this 153, a huge catch that represented a successful fishing career. The best it could ever have been. More money than he would have been able to even fathom, possibly. And he tells Peter, he says, do you love me more than these? Not talking about the disciples. He's looking back to Peter's former life. He's directing Peter back to the fish that they had just caught and brought in. 153 fish. They drew net to land full of great fishes. 153. For all there was so many, yet was not the net broken. Possibly never had caught that many fish in that one net before. So Peter, if you could have that kind of career fishing, would you go back to it? Or do you love me more than your past life? Sometimes I hear people talk about their life before salvation, and they have somewhat of a smile and a glow, and almost like, I wish I could go back to it. Really? Would you love that more than Jesus? First, the fish represented Peter's past love. His past love. It was his career. Probably as a young boy, watching dad go out on the fish boats, catching fish, thinking, that's what I want to do with my life. I want to follow my dad's footsteps. I want to be a professional fisherman. There's nothing wrong with that, if that's God's call upon your life. But Jesus was trying to help Peter understand that God's call upon his life was to be a fisher of men, to serve him. And after Peter had just denied him three times, Peter needed this lesson. Yeah. So Peter, do you love me more than these? Look at what you could have. This is your past career. This is your past life. Past love. Maybe that's why Peter would use the phileo definition of love. Maybe Peter had never really had an agape love. Some people might not truly understand what a sacrificial loving love is, what a fully committed, sold out love is. It might be that you've never experienced it. I don't know that Peter, because you know he would have said the kind of love that he knew that Jesus was asking for. I don't know that Peter would have understood that to start with. Or I think he would have used that agape love. But he didn't. You know, love, when we're young and especially teenagers are going through this understanding of what love is. And most young people fall in love with love instead of understanding love. They fall in love with the feeling that somebody gives them when they're around them. Can I tell you, love based on feelings is not agape love. Love, fuzzy feelings. Love based on how I feel when I'm around that individual will get you in trouble. To think that that is true, the love that you need to have in a marital relationship, the kind of love that you need to have to take you through life with that very same person. Phileo love will not take you through a lifelong committed marriage. It's got to be agape love that's going to get you through a lifelong commitment of marriage. The kind of love that it will take for you to continue to serve God for the rest of your life. It's not about a fuzzy feeling, because those feelings change. They can change with one word. When that person tells you no, your feeling of love turns to a feeling of hate. How could you tell me no? That doesn't really define love or hate. Yeah. A feeling does not define love or hate. Jesus said, Peter, do you have a sold out, committed, willing to sacrifice love for me more than these? Because the love you had for these won't get you through what I have planned for you. You have to love me more than what you love even these. Isn't that good? That's what he's telling him. Yeah. See, what is most important to God concerning you and I is not what we can do for him. It's not using our talents and our abilities. And it's definitely not just lip service saying, you know I love thee. What's most important to God is our agape love for him. Sold out, committed, willing to sacrifice kind of love. Matthew chapter 22. He had told them this. He had helped them to try, as he was discipling them throughout those years that he was with them, this is something that he wanted them to understand. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, let me read it to you. You know the verses. Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Not just a fuzzy feeling. This is the first and great commandment. It's not optional. It's what God has commanded those that look to him to do. I want more than just a fuzzy feeling. I want more than just a lip service. What I want from you is a sold out, committed, willing to sacrifice love. Revelation chapter 2, in dealing with the churches in the book of Revelation, in the present church age, we find that there's much here in chapters 2 and 3 about the churches and what's going on in the churches. Well, the church at Ephesus is found here in chapter 2 of the book of Revelation. And the church of Ephesus had done something that was very displeasing to God. Verse 2, he says, Jesus says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. You got a lot of works. You got a lot of labor. You even have a lot of patience. And how thou cannot bear them which are evil. You're not condoning the evil either. You're standing against it. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake, for the just the name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. But verse 4 he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Why did you do all of that? You did it for the name's sake? You did it for your reputation? No, you missed out on what comes first. Before service comes a genuine agape love. If you do all these other things, they're all things that need to be done, and praise God for them, but do them out of a love. And you're not doing them out of a love for Christ. And you've left your first love. Because God says, I'm not looking for sacrifices. That's what Samuel told Saul. God's not looking for sacrifices. He's looking for love and obedience. But obedience comes out of genuine love. Yeah. So Peter needed to check himself after what he had just been through. Jesus knew that. He says, do you love me more than these? Our first love is Christ, not the church, and not your ministries in the church. Now, I don't think we ought to separate that, because your genuine love for Christ will give you a genuine love for the church that he established. And it'll give you a genuine desire to serve as he has called you to serve. But in our own hearts and our lives and our own minds, we need to understand what first comes first. The church does not come before the love of Christ. It's the love of Christ is why I am drawn to loving his church. Therefore, I will not change his church, because it's his church. And my love for him will just want to continue his church as he established it. Wow. Yeah, that's what he's teaching Peter. If our love for God is what it should be, our service will be as well. Yeah. Peter, do you love God more than your past life? Do you love God more than money? Now, wait a minute. How many are allowing money to come before your love for God? Because your love for God will lead to giving as God would have us to give. And yet, my love for money sometimes keeps me from giving to God what God requires me to give. My love for my time might keep me from giving God the time he wants in my life. My love for whatever you might look to that would keep you from serving him. That's important to know. So we find here that Jesus wanted Peter to understand this love, and he asked him three different times, and I believe that each time represented a time that he denied him three times. Do you love me? Yeah. Jesus, the second thing we find here that Jesus wanted Peter to acknowledge was something that others would see in Peter. Not only did Peter need to know that he loved Jesus more than these, but he needed to have a testimony amongst the other disciples that I love Jesus more than anything. Do we have that kind of a testimony? Verse 15, you see, Simon Peter was in front of the other disciples. Simon Peter was addressed in front of the other apostles that Jesus was discipling. He points out Peter. He says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Not the disciples. He's looking to the load of fish, his past life. The other disciples are anxious to hear what Peter says. He wants them to be willing to make it public. Amen. You'll not deny me again, Peter. If you truly love me, you're not going to deny me. I want you to make it public in front of these other apostles, these other disciples. I want you to want them to know. I want you to want other people to know. I want you to want all people to know that you love me more. Grandkids. They try to get my wife to tell the others that they're her favorite. I want the other grandkids to know that she loves me more than you. I let her wiggle her way out of that one. They don't ask me that. I don't know why. They don't ask me. Who's your favorite? I wonder what they would say. I might have to ask them who they think my favorite would be. Everybody has them, whether they let people know about it or not. That's something different. But yeah. But Jesus said, no. I want you to want everyone to know that you love me more. Isn't that good? Yeah. He wanted him to make it public. And again, that's why possibly that he had him say it three different times. First he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest. But then he asked him a second time and he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest. Then he asked him a third time. And he said, thou knowest all things. And I love that because now he is addressing his deity. And every one of them knew Jesus knew. And so for Peter to say, you're God and you know it, he had to know that he knew that he did. Isn't that good? Yeah, he had to know that. And so all of them knew Jesus as the Messiah, and all of them now know Peter's genuine. Peter truly does love God more. Is there anybody that look at your life and how you're living and how you talk and how you act that would say that you love this more than Christ? It's for you to know. God knows. From time to time, I've got to check my own motives. I've got to make sure that I keep myself in the love of God. Because if I'm not careful, I can be blinded to it. And if I'm blinded to it, then others will be blinded to my love for God. Third thing here, it's our love for God that will keep us serving Him. It is our love for God. Paul would write to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. Let me read this to you, verse 14 and 15. He said this, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." That's what the foundation is. That's what gets us motivated to do it. "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not, because of your love for God, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him. It's because of my love for God is that I live for him, which died for them and rose again. It is my love for God that keeps me living the Christian life. It's my love for Christ that keeps me serving him. It's my love for Christ that keeps me connected to his church. It's my love for Christ that continues to lead me and to motivate me to have a desire to see the world reach for the cause of Christ. It's not based on duty. Although duty ought to be considered. It is our duty. But my service to him is not based on duty. If I was in the military, it would be based on duty. But what's more important than duty is love. Yeah. Those that are in the military out of a love for the military make it a life career. Those that are in the military out of duty get their 2 years in and get out. You will not continue to dedicate your life to Christ and to live as you ought to live solely based on duty. It takes love. Amen. Don't base it on duty. Don't base it on expectations. I'm doing it because everybody expects me to do it. Praise the Lord, there ought to be some expectations. Your family ought to be able to expect for you to be a leader and a Christ-like leader. Your wife ought to be able to expect you to be like Christ and love her like Christ loved the church. Yes, there ought to be expectations, but you don't do it out of expectations. If you do it out of expectations, it will not last. You don't do it out of obligation. Well, I guess he did this for me. I ought to do it for him. I feel obligated. That won't last. 2 Corinthians, and let me read this to you, verse 9 and chapter 9 and verse 7. I believe this is linked to giving. Do we give out of duty? Do we give out of expectations? Or do we give out of obligation? Or do we give out of love? And if it's out of love, it'll be cheerfully. That's what he says in chapter 9 verse 7 in 2 Corinthians. Every man according as he purposed in his heart. It comes from my heart. My love for God, it's in my heart because he's purposed in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. I don't want to serve out of duty and expectations or obligations. I want to serve based on love. Peter, do you love me? Once he answered affirmatively, he said, "Then feed my lambs. And feed my sheep. Because if you do love me, this is the service that I've called you to." Yeah. "And if you do love me, you will do this with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. You'll love me that way. Peter would write 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he would write these words. The elders which are among you exhort, I exhort whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. It's coming. Feed the flock of God. Peter's writing what Jesus instructed him to do. As a shepherd, under shepherd, as a pastor, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage. Feed my sheep. If you love me, Peter, because of your love for me, feed my sheep, not your sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Understand who it is that you're feeding. Understand who it is that's part of the flock. Whether it be lambs, feed them. Whether it be sheep, feed them. Whether it be goats, feed them. My flock, feed them. Out of love, serve me. Our service to God is for life, and that's how we close here tonight. Go back there with me, John chapter 21. After he asks him three times and he explains all that, I trust you got that, he gives them verse 18 and 19, which reveals that our service to God is for life. You never retire from the Lord's work. Now there's going to come a day and I'm going to step down from pastoring. As God gives me peace of mind and direction about doing that, I will do that as God directs me to do that. Because I serve out of my commitment to God, which stems from my love for Him. My willingness to sacrifice, my willingness to do whatever it is God calls me to do. But when I possibly step down for pastor, I don't stop serving God. My service is for life. In verse 18, he says some things about Peter concerning what he did early, what will happen later on in his life. In his old age, Peter will actually be crucified upside down as a martyr for the cause of Christ. He's revealing some of that. In verse 19, it actually interprets verse 18 when he says in verse 19, this spake he, Jesus, signifying by what death he should glorify God. So Peter, you're going to glorify me with your life, and then when it comes, I want you to glorify me with your death, but your part in all of it, Peter, is follow me. Follow me. The key is following Christ out of an agape love. Because it's biblical love for God that will keep us committed to serving Him. What a great lesson for Peter and for all of us as well. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Wow. God knows. He really does. But you know what God knows. He's the only one that knows us better than we know ourselves. And I want to keep myself in the love of God to the end. Willing to sacrifice to accomplish whatever God would have me to accomplish. I trust we're there. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, that as you have helped us to understand this passage of scripture, I pray that you would now help us to make whatever decisions that we need to make based on how you spoke to us tonight. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.